Of course, in times past, the Romans and other sophisticates met up in a nice, steamy public bath. What? You're not thinking of a hot bath in the dog days of August? But a hot bath is the perfect way to forget your woes and hobnob with the neighbors. At least Alexia Brew thought so. She crisscrossed the globe to research and write Cathedrals of the Flesh in search of the perfect bath. And she joins us now from our New York studio. Hello, Alexia.
Hi, Jackie.
Do you travel with your own little rubber duck?
No. I do travel with flip-flops, though.
Good idea. Well, you really did travel for this. You went from France to Turkey, Greece, Russia, Finland, Japan. It seems that almost every culture is a bathing culture, except that of the United States.
Well, it's true, and certain cultures are much more bathing cultures than others. And, we tend to be very efficient, very productive, and whiling away the afternoon at the baths doesn't necessarily go along with an American way of life.
No, it's just not productive, is it?
No, it's not.
You began this adventure with a girlfriend in a wonderful bath spot in Paris. Would you tell us more?
It was a bath called Les Bains de Marais. Now, the French, who, complain about the 35-hour work week, have nothing against whiling away the afternoon in the baths. So there are many hammams in Paris and throughout France. And
let me say that a hammam, of course, is the ancient Arabic word, ancient because the baths often look that way, I guess, hammam meaning bath. And the Les Bains de Marais, meaning the baths of the Marais in Paris, what was it like?
Well, it was a very Frenchified hammam. It was the first one I'd been to, and it was sort of like a page of history that didn't happen. If France had occupied Turkey, this is what the hammams would have looked like. It was much softer, more elegant, almost a sort of nightclub version of the baths. And then the next day, we went to the Arab mosque, which really has a combination of immigrants and French people, and it's a much more traditional, authentic hammam experience with much grander architecture and, massage tables everywhere and women giving kessé treatments, which are these very intense exfoliations and scrubbing and soaping you and massaging you.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the word gommage?
Gommage, yes. It means eraser in French, and it's the word that the French use for an exfoliation.
Yeah, it sounds pretty rough.
Yeah, they're sort of woolen mitts, and when they scrub you up and down, what happens is your skin starts to pill, and your whole body becomes a landscape of these brown polka dots that was, the top layer of your skin.
Yeah, and you know what I love about taking that whole top layer of skin off is that underneath we are all actually 19.
Exactly. Right. And the inner Britney Spears comes out.
You then went from Paris to Turkey. Now, Istanbul, I really do think, as the center of the universe of hammam culture. What did you find there?
Well, that's what I had hoped. And what I found was that I was about 70 years too late. The baths were still all there, but you had to really take a leap of faith in your imagination to picture what they would have been like at their prime.
So tell us what you saw.
Well, I started at some of the large tourist baths in Sultanahmet, which is, where the Blue Mosque is and the Hagia Sophia. And there are two huge 14th and 15th century hammams called Çemberlitos and Jalalu. And there, you're not going to be bathing with Turks. It's really a tourist experience. And you get a flavor of it. You get to walk into this monumental space and get a feel for what hammam architecture was like. But you don't really get a sense of the sorority and sisterhood that the hammams would have had. And there it's good to go a little further, into some of the neighborhood hammams in small neighborhoods like Çukur Cuma or some of the little villages along the Bosphorus. And there you can find tiny little hammams that still have a vibrant way of life and where, you can go and get the works for $5 and really have a relationship with the telak, who's the hammam lady and who does the scrubbing and the kessé. Mm-hmm. And that's a really magical experience and a great way to experience the culture.
You and your girlfriend wanted to open a hammam in New York City or someplace in the States.
Mm-hmm.
Still thinking about it?
Actually, more than ever. It's an idea I just can't get away from. It really has a hold on me. And I think that Manhattan is such a cosmopolitan city that it's really ready for an elegant Turkish steam bath. A lot of places will say, we have a Turkish bath or, hammam, but that's a euphemism for steam room, And no one actually has a proper hammam with a belly stone in the middle and the incredible architecture that is part of traditional hammams.
The belly
so
stone.
So I want to, like, put the hammam back in hammam.
Oh, I want you to. And I want you to explain what the belly stone is.
The belly stone is the centerpiece of a hammam. So when you walk in, the sikaklik, I don't mean to get academic, but that's the hot room, and you see a huge marble octagonal platform raised about a foot off the ground. And the first thing you do after dumping some water on yourself and cleaning off is you go and you lie on this belly stone, and it's the warmest part of the hammam because the furnace is right underneath, and you just kind of relax, breathe in the air, let the heat of the marble massage your shoulders, and you know, it's sort of the town square where people talk, and eventually it's also where you have your treatments.
Well, it sounds wonderful, Alexia, and we hope you get a chance to do it. Alexia Brew is the author of Cathedrals of the Flesh, My Search for the Perfect Bath. Thanks so much, Alexia.
Thank you.